Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me here today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. Let's start today by noticing words of Jesus Christ that are very misunderstood by many people. This is in John 19, and we'll read verses 28 through 30 to get the setting here, and then look at these words in verse 30. Verse 28, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.'" Here Jesus Christ is being crucified, and he's almost to the point of being fully killed, fully sacrificed, and he knows that all things that he needed to accomplish were now accomplished. Verse 29, "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth." Verse 30, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit." He was killed, and there's, of course, more to it. The way that he died, he had a spear rammed into his side, and you can read more about that by putting all the accounts together. But he died. He said, "It is finished." He died. What did Jesus mean when he said, "It is finished"? What was finished? You know, we don't want to assume what Jesus meant here. Traditional Christianity has assumed that the death of Christ finished God's plan of salvation, that that's all there is to it. But we have to look at other scriptures to build the full picture of what Jesus meant here when he said, "It is finished." Let's look over at John 4 and see this passage. And again, if you have a Bible handy, it'd be good for us to look at these passages together. John 4 and verse 34, "Jesus said unto them, 'My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work.'" So we learn here that Jesus' objective was to finish the work God the Father gave him to do. That's what he was to finish, and that is what Christ finished, that work. Notice this quote from Lesson 29 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This is a free Bible course that you can sign up for at thetrumpet.com. It says, "Jesus came to accomplish a specific job, the Father's work. That work included the sacrifice of his life as our Passover." You can read that in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. "He paid the penalty of our sins." Jesus Christ did that. Further, it says, "But the death of Jesus did not finish the plan of salvation. If it had, then why the need of a resurrection? Suppose Jesus were not resurrected, would his shed blood be sufficient to save us?" Well, that's a really good question. You know, if everything just stopped right there, Jesus Christ died and that was it, would that be enough? Well, let's let the Bible answer that question. Would that be sufficient to save us? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17. It says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins." So if Christ was sacrificed but then not resurrected, we would all still be in our sins. Powerful. Again, the correspondence course says, notice it, "yet in your sins, without salvation." Christ's sacrifice alone is not all that is necessary for salvation. Make sure you understand that. Christ's sacrifice alone is not all that is necessary for salvation. Obviously, it's a vitally important part of it. It's the beginning of it, as we'll see, but it's not all that is necessary. There is more that has to be done. Notice Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 10. "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Lesson 29 says, the death of Christ, the shedding of his blood, paid for our past guilt, but we shall in the future be saved, that is, inherit eternal life, by Christ's life, by the power of the resurrection. The truth is that Christ's death is in reality the beginning, the very first step in God's great master plan. So each one of us has sinned, and we're guilty of the death of Jesus Christ. So we have a part to play. We have a responsibility. What must we do going forward? Well, the Bible answers that. The Correspondence Course says, many religions of the Christian professing world teach that Christ's sacrifice completed the plan of salvation. They think it's finished. And the quote continues, they think there is nothing more for us to do but believe. Nothing could be further from the truth. And you see, that's where thinking gets off track sometimes. A person says, okay, I believe in Christ's sacrifice. I believe in Christ. And then they think that's it, I guess. But then that absolves us of our responsibility. Well, what do we have to do? Is there anything we've got to do? There absolutely is. Notice Hebrews 9 and verse 14. Hebrews 9 and verse 14. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So Christ's sacrifice pays the penalty for those sins that we repent of. And then we're to stop those dead works and we're to go forward to serve the living God. That's what we've got to be doing going forward. We get some more specifics if we look at Acts 2. Let's look at Acts 2 and we'll read verses 36 through 38. This is shortly after Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. And Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. And it was a powerful message and it really stirred people when they understood that they were guilty of the death of Jesus Christ. Verse 36, it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So again, understand that this applies to us because of our sins. We're all guilty of his death. And verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? It's a great question. What shall we do? Now just stop here for a moment and think. According to modern Christianity, shouldn't Peter have just said to them, well, you don't have to do anything. You know, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, Christ did everything, so there's nothing more to do. Just accept him. He doesn't say that. Notice verse 38. He says, Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Once we accept Christ's sacrifice, repent and become baptized, then we must have works that serve the living God. Hebrews 9 and verse 14, we just read that. Purge your conscience from dead works and serve the living God. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward and obey God's commandments. And that means all of them. All of them, including the Sabbath day. Keep the commandments of God. That's what Jesus Christ did. So, they asked a great question there in Acts 2. Well, what are we supposed to do? What shall we do knowing that Christ was sacrificed, knowing that I'm guilty of this? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit then empowers God's people to go forward and serve the living God. Correspondence Course says, many professing Christians claim to accept Christ's sacrifice, but God has not applied that sacrifice to them. They are still unrepentant sinners. They refuse to obey him, claiming his laws are done away. Right? That's the way a lot of people think. How would Peter have responded? You know, if he told them, repent and be baptized, and they said, well, we think it's good enough to just accept Christ's sacrifice. That's all we're going to do. we believe you. We believe that Christ died, and we're glad that he did so that our sins could be forgiven, and but we're just going to keep on living like we're living. Of course, they wouldn't have been allowed to continue on and be baptized, right? He said, repent and be baptized. We have to follow that admonition. Many professing Christians claim to accept Christ's sacrifice, but God has not applied that sacrifice to them because they are still unrepentant sinners. They just won't obey him. They won't do it. So we need to be obeying God. John 14 and verse 15, Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Commandment keeping is vitally important. Lesson 29 of the Correspondence Course says, most people assume that Christ's death finished the plan of God, right? They read, it is finished, and they think, well, that's it. Finish the plan of God. But it says the truth is that Christ's death is in reality the beginning, the very first step in God's great master plan. Further, it says Christ is not the minister of sin, Galatians 2:17. Not until we repent of sin and believe God can we be forgiven. Not until we repent of sin and believe God can we be forgiven. We want to be forgiven. We need to be forgiven. We need Christ's sacrifice. But we're not going to be forgiven until we repent of sin and change. It says Christ's sacrifice will be applied only to those who show by their actions that they are truly repentant. It's not enough just to say, I'm sorry. Then we have to go forward and have actions that show we're repentant. It says the original words in the Greek from which repent and repentance are translated mean to turn, to change direction. True repentance is exactly that. It is a complete about face from disobedience toward God to obedience, love, and cooperation with him. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to go on to serve God. It says true repentance is coming to a full realization that we have rebelled against our Maker, against his way and his righteous law. It means that we come to abhor our past sins and our self-willed, rebellious natures. We must truly be broken up and ready with God's help to quit sinning and rebelling, and to submit to God with all our hearts and minds. It is very important that we consider Christ's sacrifice. We have to think deeply about that. And it is so important, and it is so vital. But then we don't want to be deceived in thinking, well, that's all there is to it. We have to have that attitude that we read about here in Acts 2, where after Peter described to the people what had happened, and that Jesus Christ had been crucified, and that they were guilty of it, but that really bothered them. That bothered them. And they said, well, what should we do? What can we do? What's our role now? And if Peter had just said, well, you just have to accept Christ, well, then they wouldn't have had to do anything. But he didn't say that. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. We want to make sure that our understanding lines up with God's word in the Bible. We can't just believe what people say about it. We've got to read it ourselves, and that's why the Correspondence Course is so valuable, because it goes through these different passages and puts the whole picture together, so that when we read Jesus Christ's words in John 19 and verse 30, where he says, it is finished, we don't have to assume what he meant. We can go and look at the scriptures. Look at John 4 and verse 34 that we read earlier. And we can look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17, and Romans 5 and verse 10, and Hebrews 9 and verse 14, and Acts 2, verse 36 through 38, and there's more. And get the full picture and understand that Christ's death is the beginning, the very first step in God's great master plan. And then we think, okay, what do we do? And Peter answers, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And then we receive the power of God's Holy Spirit to go forward and to serve the living God, as we read there in Hebrews 9 and verse 14. If you'd like to understand more about God's Holy Day plan and Passover, make sure that you get this lesson, lesson 29 of the correspondence course, and then there's other lessons that go into the Holy Day specifically. Sign up for the whole course. That's the best way to do it. And also, we have a free book, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which you can get that at thetrumpet.com, and it's all free as an educational service. That's all the time we have today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.